Girls just wanna have fun. They just wanna. Everything's breaking. Oh my god. Guardians of the Geekery. StormCon Edition 24. B. And we've got Joey the Giddy Geek here. I'm Matt Starnsword. I'm going to phase out a little bit here. Let's go around the room. We've got
Christine Brunson. I'm a comic book creator. I write and color Undead Norm, and I color Disco Frankenstein and Amazing Age.
Sweet.
You know who I am, Giddy Geeker.
Yes.
Janet Iantuano. I run Atomicon here in North Charleston, and I am a longtime Star Wars geek and collector. Yay!
And I'm Michelle Iantuano. I'm Janet's daughter. I help her run Atomicon, specifically the science programming track. Oh, I'm a chemist by day and currently unpublished fantasy novelist.
Woo! You didn't know you were in such ostentatious company, did you?
Yeah, no.
So it's the Girl Power Edition. Woo! So we are here talking a little bit about girls in science as well as at conventions. Oh wow, it just really started raining outside there. See what you did when you started singing? You shouldn't have done that. That was not my idea at all. But you know, so we're here at StormCon, and we just got 24A. If you got to listen to it, we talked a little bit about gaming and all that kind of stuff, but now we've got a group of girls here that we've known for several years, or I've known for several years, Starnsword, talking a little bit about girls and how we're kind of taking over some of this geekery that we have. So, it's not quite the same face of geekery that it once was. It's prettier. So, yay!
I think that's refreshing, too, because I remember I was into comic books, and I'd go in a comic book store, and if a girl came in, it was like the record stopped, the jukebox stopped, like in Happy Days. It was like, yeah, and it's like, oh my gosh. And like everybody would freeze and get like nervous and walk out. And it's like, that's not the case. Probably about 6 years ago in the comic book community, I'd start to, and it was fantastic. And not only that, we have a lot of the creators now coming on. And it's like, it's needed to come down because we had this kind of singular voice and it was very boring after a while. Yeah, you know, so I think it's really opened things up. And then also with gaming, I mean, it adds so much more to it, I think.
Yeah,
so
there's definitely a very healthy balance of female and male players here at StormCon this weekend, which is always kind of nice. I will say the first year that Christine and I were at StormCon, we were sitting behind tables trying to promote our different efforts, and guys would come up and we'd be like, hi, and they're like, phew, and they ran away.
Yeah.
But then we started playing Mexican Trains and Kittens in a Blender and some of that stuff, and all of a sudden people were joining us.
Good, wholesome games.
Yes.
You know, my grandmother and her sisters love playing Mexican Trains, so
that's
where I learned that game from.
And I had never played it before, I'm more of a comic books than playing games and stuff, but they got me into it, and everyone's very friendly that was showing me how to play them, but, you know, It's nice to see a lot of mixed genders here now.
Yeah. No, it's definitely there. So, speaking of comic books, how did you get into writing and drawing for comics? And tell us a little bit more about Undead Norm and some of your other projects.
All right. Well, I've been a longtime fan of comic books. I actually didn't know they were just for boys. So, back in the day when people would do it. Like, my mom was very good about letting us play with the video games and the Legos and everything, because I have a lot of friends, they're like, my mom never let me play with those, and I'm like, what? They were for girls? Okay. But,
for girls.
Yeah, they were, and I started off reading mostly Marvel books when I was younger, so, I have a lot of '70s and '80s X-Men and Fantastic Four, Avengers stuff, but when I got into high school, I got more into some of the Japanese stuff because, you know, it was the big 90s events. Everything was a collector's issue. And you have the people with all these massive muscles coming out of muscles and stuff. So I was like, yeah, this is not for me anymore. So I started collecting more Japanese comics and stuff. And, of course, Sailor Moon and all that stuff. And then I kind of
which is nothing like Undead Norm, which is about zombies.
No. Yeah, I have very, very
and none of them
interest.
Are wearing cute little sailor outfits that I can see.
Not yet. But
okay. Episode 3.
Yeah. But, you know, I've always kind of wanted to work on comics because of that. I'm reading, you know, Claremont's run on the X-Men and stuff. And he was really one of those good writers about being, if he could put a character as a female, he would do it over having a male character. If you, I recommend the documentary She Makes Comics. It's very, very good. Explains a lot of representation back in the day and how it's kind of getting back to it. But, you know, I always wanted to do it, but I always had the idea of you had to go to art school, you had to live in New York or California, and I grew up on a chicken farm. There was no way I was going to an art school. So I was like, well, maybe I, and plus, yeah, I even though I didn't know, comics were mostly for guys, I knew that a lot of people who worked on it were mostly guys. So I was like, how do I have a chance to do this? So I kind of gave up for a while, and I went to college, and then I got back into collecting comics after I got married, and around then we decided to go to our first convention, which was Heroes Con in Charlotte. And while we went there, I was just like, I just want to do this. And I met people like Kelly Sue DeConnick and Matt Fraction and all kinds of different people there, Scotty Young. And they're all talking about how they have these young kids. They're about my son's age. And they're like, yeah, we work on our comics. So, yeah, you know, they've been working in the industry for a long time. So, of course, they built up there. But I'm like, you know what? If I'm not getting younger, I need to start trying if I'm going to do it. And I wrote the script, and I met my friend Melanie at a party at Soundwave and our comic book store that I go to, and we decided to go ahead and do it, and that's where Undead Norm came from.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're working on your third episode now, correct? Yes. You've written it. Now you're just illustrating it and stuff.
Yeah, sadly, Melanie has moved on to other stuff, so she's a... on as like an editor type role now, and my friend Michael's taking over, which Undead Norm is a goofy zomedy kind of thing. We try to be more like silly that. Than scary, but you know, we follow this guy named Norm as he becomes one of the first zombies, and he meets and eats interesting people along the way, and we love putting him in goofy situations, and it's like a lot of people don't really believe the zombie apocalypse is happening, so it makes it more fun to insert a little zombie in there and see what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's great, and we actually used some of the characters at Geek Gala and created a little carnival game out of it for a couple years where you got to use remote control Daleks and knock over the zombies. It was a lot of fun.
I was happy to have him a part of that. I think Norm enjoyed it.
And speaking about conventions, Janet, you started Atomicon 2 years ago, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, Charleston's really becoming convention town. This is StormCon's third year. This is Atomicon's third year.
And it's all in the same hotel, too. ConsumCon was here as well last month.
All right. Yes. So tell us a little bit about Atomicon and what kind of tracks and fandoms you promote or organize for and why you started it.
Well, the reason I started it, I had actually been involved with Con Carolinas for 14 years or so. I was one of the founders of that particular convention, and I got really tired of sloughing my stuff up there every summer. So
4-hour trip.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a trip, and plus there really was a void in Charleston. We did have StormCon has been here for quite a bit longer, but it was mostly a gaming convention, and so and also I was a empty nester. Michelle had moved out of the house.
It's all your fault.
So, I had the time to really be able to, and the experience to really be, go ahead and just go for it and start a convention. And we started a couple years ago, and it is basically a multi-genre convention. I pretty much am a Doctor Who, Star Wars fan, but it really covers everything. Matter of fact, it's probably the least Star Wars-y of any convention down here. We do have some Star Wars type. We had a Star Wars guest last year, but
and the R2-D2 bio.
And we do have the R2. We do have the R2-D2s, the R2 builders. We have several. We are a track based convention, so we have costuming, we have paranormal,
literary,
science and tech, and what am I forgetting?
Well, the arts and music.
Gaming, we have. And this year we just added an arts and music track, which basically will be demo type things where we do our make and takes. We do a lot of, I found that in conventions that when you do a lot of interactive type of things where people can make something and they can bring it back with them.
Absolutely.
For free. they really like that. And I'm really big about recycling and that type of thing. So most of our make and takes are everyday things that we've recycled into.
Upcycling, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, last year we had Daleks that we made out of water bottles. And cool. This year we've got quite a few different other things planned.
Is Sherilyn going to do her puppet workshop?
We're going to have a puppet workshop again. We're going to have a hat decorating make and take. I collect way too many old lady hats, but also I've had to collect old men hats, so we have equal amount. And basically, there are all these really fancy men's and women's hats. We'll have gears and all kinds of geeky stuff, and you can take those and decorate them whatever way you want and take them with you and be out of my house.
We should do a con out of our garage. No kidding.
We have all the Geek Gala stuff for 7 years in my garage, all the sets and
stuff. Her bedroom, that's one reason why she had to move out, because her bedroom is now Con Central. It's full with all the Atomicon things.
Right. Sounds like you kicked her out so you could put stuff in a different house.
I don't want to say I was glad to leave, but... No.
Well, the other bedroom is a Star Wars room, so she really had no choice. This year we have Robert Sawyer as our literary guest of honor, and he is a multi-award winner. I think if there's been an award literary-wise, this man has won it. He's also done some script writing for a TV show called Flash Forward.
He wrote the novel. Fox.
Oh. Yeah, he wrote the novel, and he also wrote the scripts for that particular series, which I think you can see on YouTube and on Hulu right now.
I really loved that show.
It's a very cool show. Me too. It had some really good people in it, too. Yeah.
He also has a book with velociraptors, I think. That was the thing that attracted me to him. She was like, hey, look at this guy. And I saw the velociraptors. I'm like, sold.
And we also have Don Mates and Janie Wirtz, who are going to be our artist guest of honor, even though Janie has written 17 different novels on top of being an illustrator. And of course Don is probably best known for doing the Captain Morgan's Rum logo.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he does a lot of maritime pirate type artwork, but then he does a lot of fantasy artwork. He said right now he's doing something for a Stephen King novel that he's going to be doing the illustration
Very
for.
Cool.
So we're really really glad to have them come. We also do filking, and it's not a dirty word.
Yes, it is.
I can pretend like it is, all right?
Yeah.
It all depends if it's Mikey Mason and a Dalek. Then filking is dirty.
That could be true. I forgot about
Mikey and Daleks, no.
No, that's true.
I've had to pay for therapy for my inflatable Dalek for years. Oh. Although I was probably not that great when I was carrying around my half-inflated Dalek. I would go into panels and blow it up when I wasn't speaking. And
it made for an interesting panel.
Yes, it was a very interesting Doctor Who panel. So I had to put the hot air somewhere. But anyway, so what are your dates of your Atomicon for this year?
This year is November 13th through 15th. And because we are Veterans Day week, our charity is the Wounded Warrior Project.
Wonderful. And that's for a charity auction.
And we will be having a charity auction to benefit all the proceeds will go to
that. Is your mom going
to
make all those little crocheted
crochet. She's got a Star Wars book, and she has a Disney character book. She already has a list of little crocheted items she's going to be making. And
I've already commissioned a Cthulhu.
Yeah.
She made the little Dancing Baby Groot crocheted. Yeah. Oh, so cute. I didn't win it, but it was adorable.
There was lots
of
amazing
ones. He actually danced,
he actually danced, and it was a little bit better than the one that we bought.
I think I've talked her into actually giving a crochet class this year, too, in our art and music
room. Really? That would be really awesome. You know, a lot of times at panels, you see people crocheting, and three times I've learned and forgotten how to do things with yarn. So my mom once pulled out this beautiful red, white, and blue scarf. And it wasn't like 3 feet long. It hadn't gotten that far. And she's like, you crocheted that when you were six. And I'm like, I have no memory of that at all. I think I've blocked that out. So. But yeah. And then somebody from the SCA was teaching me one time, and I had it really good, and then lost it again.
I think we'll be bringing back, we had nerdy knitting last year, and I think we're bringing that back as well. So if you can't crochet, maybe you'll be able to knit. And Valentine Wolf is going to do some panels on how to control audio and that type of thing for people who do podcasting.
Yeah,
and
perfect.
And we'll be podcasting
and YouTube
live.
Channels and that type of thing. So. And yes, we will have podcasting in this same room.
Hey, and, we know the setup.
Yeah,
yay.
You know the setup.
Good to go.
So Michelle, you grew up in this world.
Absolutely.
Literally seeing pictures of you very young and as the Star Wars baby, Dragon Con way back when, and now you're a fully fledged female adult in the sci-fi convention world. Mom laughs at the word adult, I guess, but but and pursued a life in science and everything. How do you think being part of the geekery has kind of influenced your life and your life decisions as far as your outside real world experience goes?
Oh, wow, that's a loaded question.
I know, that was like a $10 question right there.
Wow, this is like a job interview question. How do you define, you know, your life path?
It's like I'm in staffing or something. Yeah.
5,000 words or less. Go.
Next you're going to ask me to show my work. I mean, you're right, I really have completely grown up in this. And it's not just because my mother had a Star Wars room and stuff, although I think that influenced the friends that I had growing up. I mean, I had a lot of male friends growing up. I wasn't really into having female friends. We weren't into the same stuff, but I had all these guy friends, and it was so funny because, like, whenever they'd come over to my house, they loved coming over because I'd show them the Star Wars room, and they'd be like, "Your mom's so cool! You have the coolest mom ever!" And then, you know, when I was 12, I remember distinctly, I was going to go to Dragon Con for the weekend, and then the same guys, like, once they got out of the elementary school, you know, cool stage, you know, then they were kind of jerks for about 3 years, and they were like, "Oh, that you're going to that goth con or whatever," and then, like, 3 years later, they're like, "Oh, I want to go to Dragon Con, Dragon Con's so cool." Mm-hmm. Like, that was back when Dragon Con was much more alternative.
Right.
And, you know, then I got a little bit older, and I've always been into writing and film, so it is a little bit strange that I went into science, although I definitely liked, you know, AP biology and stuff like that in school, and I think that I was honestly too worried about, you know, finding work and stuff in the economy, and, you know, I wanted to major in something that was kind of practical, I guess.
Sure.
But it's worked out well. I mean, I probably have the best chemistry job that I could really imagine. I have an industrial chemistry job. I'm not just, you know, sitting pouring bleach in bottles and putting labels on it. That was my first job out of college. So that was a joke.
For a month.
Yeah. Until my current boss came and rescued me. He felt so bad for me. I think that's why he hired me. He's like, "Oh, you poor thing." But yeah, I make dyes for a living, and it's a good way to combine, like, my creative side and then the science side, because I get to work with color and stuff, and, you know, being a synthesis chemist, you have to think very creatively and innovatively, so I think that mostly the geekery in my life has influenced the things that I create, like the types of stories that I write and the types of stories that I want to tell, more so than my actual career.
And you actually had a web series for a little while.
I did have a web series. I'm not going to talk any specifics about that, because
I will.
Give us the links, Mom. Give us the links.
I watched them.
No, Joey knows.
I watched them.
That does remind me, the biggest thing I was ever into was Heroes. That was my high school.
Yeah.
I loved it, and I'm so excited it's coming back. Yeah. I can't believe it's been 9 years.
Reborn.
I'm
Heroes
stoked.
Reborn.
Especially because Angela Petrelli, she's the bomb. But yeah, I was super into Heroes, and that funneled me. That's how I got my first million words in writing, was writing Heroes fanfic. And then when I got to college, I was like, and the show got canceled and stuff, I was like, let's move on to, you know, original stuff. I'd been doing original stuff when I was like a kid, and I'd held on to a lot of those ideas, but I'd been so distracted by the fanfic, and it got me my voice. It got me practice.
Sure.
So then, you know, in college, I was just too busy with the chemistry stuff. I worked on NaNoWriMo and stuff a couple times. But then once I was finally graduated from college, I actually sat and wrote my first novel, which is a fantasy novel. So,
and mom's helping with the editing and the reading. And
mom's not saying nothing about it.
But, yeah, I would say that the one creative
I got fussed about for being a proud mom. It was a good novel.
With the web series, though, that was when I was 17. That was my freshman year in college. And that was probably the last thing I had time that I had a chance to do anything with film. But it was a Heroes web series. I wanted to play in that sandbox still. And it was the first time I ever actually went out and asked people for help with something and asked and tried to make, like, a dream of mine come true, I guess. And even though, we had no budget. I mean, it was just a bunch of college students who I don't know why they helped me because none of them were even geeks. they were just, like, random people who I guess wanted something for their CV in theater. That was a really good learning experience and stuff, and I wouldn't have done it without Geekery, I guess, because I probably wouldn't have felt like, oh, you know, I have this original idea, nobody's really going to want to, like, nobody's going to give me a chance on that. If I kind of piggyback off something everybody else likes, then I can get my foot in the door, you know?
And she didn't really have a choice, because even her dad is pretty much a geek. He's more of a James Bond type of geek, but
he named his son Sean after Sean Connery.
But he loved the X-Files and all that. And so anything science fiction he would watch, and I watched it. She just did not have a choice. she was reading Harry Potter.
Oh yes, I'm the Harry Potter generation, of course. So that definitely, you know, influenced.
Artemis Fowl.
That's my favorite series ever. If you have not checked out Artemis Fowl, I don't care how old you are, I don't care if you're 10 or 40, it's an incredible series. Owen Colfer is an awesome writer.
Well, I haven't checked it out. I'll watch it now.
Yeah. So we are a little bit older, Janet, you and I, as the women of the girls of girl power. So was Star Wars your first, or was Doctor Who the first, or were there, what was your entrance into the world of sci-fi and geeks?
Actually, it was way before Star Wars, because I was really into Edgar Rice Burroughs, mm-hmm. Jules Verne, H.G. Wells, Asimov, Heinlein, Philip K. Dick, was like science fiction. We had a neighbor who would take us to the local library, and so I was constantly reading not only science fiction, but mythology. I was really into mythology. Any kind, any place, I'd read any kind of mythology there was. And so then when I was about, now I'm giving my age away, around 13, then this movie Star Wars came out. And the Star Wars kind of brought a lot of that mythology that I had been reading through, and the science fiction element. And I just, that was it. Now, before then, Star Trek, Voyage of the Bottom of the Sea, Lost in Space, which I still watch all the time on MeTV. I haven't given it up.
I miss MeTV. We moved and we don't have
it. We just lost MeTV.
I don't know what I'd do without.
It's like, I need my Saturday night Wonder Woman fix.
There you go. Wonder Woman.
I miss it. It's just, I really do. Yeah.
$6 Million Man, Incredible Hulk. I mean, we grew up in that. Yeah. Generation Ultraman. I remember watching that every day. So Batman. So
ISIS.
We kind of grew up.
I liked Isis.
Oh, Isis. Oh, yeah.
She didn't do a lot, but I liked that she floated up in the air and was like,
whoa. Shazam and Isis. Yeah, that was when we had like Saturday morning actual cartoons to watch.
And that was the trippiest. I come back to all the time when I'm talking to people. I'm like, what were they thinking? Because it was like this live action thing, and he would go into this mobile home with this creepy old guy. He didn't appear to me at the time. I was like, oh yeah, it's just his friend or something, his uncle or something. Goes in, and then it's this cartoon god's pantheon, you know, and it's like, I was like, what is going on here? I loved it because I love cartoons, but I was like, oh, this is just to hook the kid, I guess, to get him in.
Of
but
course, then we had like He-Man and She-Ra and Thundercats. And...
Oh my goodness.
Now see, I didn't watch Thundercats until I was older. I caught up on it later, which, you know, thankful for some of these TV, these cable channels that are kids-based, but it's all the stuff that we watched.
Oh my goodness, yes.
But it's do you remember the one that was like, it was a mobile home, and they would get this glow around it, and it was very 70s. It was an afternoon show, and it was like four or five of them, but they were here on Earth, and they had powers and stuff, and it was like, that was another one I was just like...
I can't remember the name of that one.
But, you know, it was basically just an RV that they had kind of new-united.
Like they were like in the future or something. I remember that one. I can't remember what it was called either.
But yeah, it was obviously done out in the Red Rocks area because you'd see that same grassy field and then the pile of rocks everywhere. But yeah, it was just very interesting. But yeah, it was a great Generation 70s.
Yeah, you pretty much name it. I've watched it growing up. And I really, really love the old movies too, like Day the Earth Stood Still and This Island Earth.
Oh my God.
You know, Forbidden Planet. Forbidden Planet, I can still watch it. If they ever remade that one, I'd just die because it doesn't need to be remade.
I love some of the old black and whites that Sven Gulli does on me.
Oh, yes, I totally watched
And there was, you know, there was like Men from Mars where like they struggle and they, you know, the humans arrive on Mars and then they come out just to have the girl die at the end. Like, what? What? Sorry, spoiler alert. Yeah. Opposite, reverse.
Well, and of course you got Godzilla. Have to watch all the Godzilla
1970s
movies.
Godzilla Hanna-Barbera series is really
with
awesome.
Godzuki.
Godzuki, yes.
Let's make Godzilla, you know, cute.
Let's put Scooby-Doo in Godzilla, and that's basically what I got. I love how Captain Majors is always like, let's press the Godzilla button, and they're like, we don't need to call Godzilla, and he's just like, I'm doing it.
Got a paper cut. Call Godzilla.
Meanwhile, it's creating like 500 tsunamis across the world. Just because the guy wanted to press the button.
Now, I don't know if this was something that happened. You know, one of the things that I also loved from our childhood before cable TV was around was that you had these, you know, channels that the UHF and VHF channels that do these crazy stuff. So for us, it was always Kung Fu Theater in the morning, and then it was Creature Double Feature in the afternoon, where it was the Godzilla movie, and then The Day the Earth Stood Still, or something like that. And I remember we had some friends come and visit from Pennsylvania, and they showed up at like 6 or 7 in the morning. And we all got up, we were like, hey, you're here! But rather than going back to bed, all the kids went in, and we were watching Kung Fu Theater, where it's like, and we're sitting there eating pancakes with syrup and strawberry jam all over them, you know, and like just watching guys like stick their hands through other guys' chests, and one guy like used the dead body as a shield and like stuck his hand through the guts to kill the other guy. We're just sitting there eating our pancakes like, yes, this is awesome, you know. And then Creature Double Feature comes on and they're like, what is this stuff? You know, they're from Amish country. They're like, they weren't Amish, but they were conservative. They're like, what is this stuff your kids are watching? We're like, this is great. So
somehow we all turned out okay.
Yeah, I know, right?
The stuff we watched. But
it's that creativity that kind of lets through. So, did I cut you off? I think I did.
Oh, no, no. But you know, I do remember Creature Feature. I remember the first time, like, 3D glasses. It was a black and white Creature from the Black Lagoon. And 7-Eleven, like, promoted this thing, seems like forever, when I was a kid. And finally it came and you got to wear your 3D glasses. And, of course, it was just, like, blue and red. And there was very little 3D. But it was very exciting back then.
Oh, no, I know. It is.
Is he kind of getting close? I can't tell. All right,
Jaws 3D. Yeah.
I just actually saw The Blob last weekend. They were showing it on one of our local TVs, like MeTV.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? I don't think I've ever actually watched The Blob from beginning to end. You know, you always see the part when it blobs out. It's not a very good movie. The only thing it was had Steve McQueen in it, you know.
And not everything from the past is necessarily.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
The Blob was, Attack of Killer Tomatoes, that should be in the history of Congress, you know.
Yeah.
There are those movies, like, you go back and you have these fond remembrances of when you watch them when you were 7, and then you're like,
don't ruin it for yourself.
I should not have done this.
there's
should have left it back there, yeah.
What for you?
Quest for Camelot was the one that immediately comes to mind. I liked that as a kid, and I just went back. And Fern Gully, I watched that the other day. I was like, it was only like 80 minutes long. It was very short. So.
No, and I still love Fern Gully. I don't know, like Tim Curry's voice in there. I'm just like, this is my jam. Yeah. Nice.
What was fun for me on MeTV is some of the 70s movies that they made, where it was all of a sudden they had to make a movie about everything, like a cartoon about everything. And one of them was like Snow White Christmas. And it wasn't Snow White like we know. And, like, her whole village is frozen. Like, she watched her parents get frozen to death in front of her. And she doesn't have white hair. She has black hair, you know. And she's, but she's trying to save them. And there's this evil queen. And it was very much like, what is that movie, Full Metal or whatever, but it was this very 70s, like, trippy music, and there was, like, you know, it's, everything's gonna have a giant in it, and everything's gonna have dwarves in it, and but it was, like, really evil. There was no, like, happy childhood memory kind of ending. It was like, you will all die. But it was 70s, and it was cartoons, so we should watch it. And, yeah, weird stuff.
Yeah,
but
70s, they had, well, 70s and into 80s, you know, all your superhero type shows or movies. I mean, the Captain America from back then was just, so bad. So bad. And really, yeah. You know, I go back and Esquire actually, Network actually shows Incredible Hulk. And, like, they do, like, an all-day long. And I'm watching this, like, okay, this is kind of bad, but it still wasn't, it still held up. It was still pretty good. And, they, of course, they've been showing MacGyver on Thursdays. And
that does not hold up as well.
No, it's definitely dated, but it's still MacGyver, so I can watch it all day long.
I've heard Knight Rider doesn't hold up at all.
Well,
but aside from the theme song, the rest of the show, it's just, like, just stop after the theme song, and then you're good.
Well, Knight Rider was kind of corny during its time, so yeah. I would imagine it was kind of bad. But it was a very cool car, though.
Yeah, it was a very cool
car. I mean,
cool
I admit, we watched it faithfully, because that's just what you did. Mm. I mean, $6 Million Man, they also show on Esquire, like, all day long on Wednesdays, I think, which... It's okay. I didn't realize that, you know, they didn't make the noise when he ran and all until, like, later episodes. Like, when you watch the, like, the first episodes, you're waiting for that, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and there's, like, none of that, you know? It's like, where's the noise?
They're like, but, we need something to make it seem like he's actually running fast or doing yes. something.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
like...
but, yeah. I don't know that, like, the whole ripping a phone book would be as impressive to kids today, because they probably haven't seen a phone book.
And $6 million, not quite as much as it used to be.
That's kind of cheap. I mean, I think the only thing that the reason that kind of show has still held up, the stories are really, really good in them.
Yeah.
And so if you can get over the datingness of a lot of stuff, especially like when they go in a room with computers and they've got tapes and stuff running, and just get beyond that, and a lot of them, the stories are still enjoyable to watch. So I still
love the big Bigfoot arc they had.
Oh yeah, they had the Bigfoot one on the other day.
Oh gosh.
Well, and it was interesting. So we got to see Lindsay Wagner at Dragon Con last year, and she, you know, I mean, she wasn't supposed to be a character. Like, she was supposed to die. That was all that was supposed to happen, was she was supposed to die.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched it 20 years later.
Great, I can't watch that now.
I know, I always say spoiler alert after I say it. I realize it's wrong.
That's why they call her the Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
What?
But like, the people liked the storyline so much that they had to figure out a way to bring her back. So then they made her the Bionic Woman, but she was supposed to die. So it was interesting to kind of go back and watch a lot of that stuff. Wonder Woman was the same. Of course, Wonder Woman was one of those first series that leaped from one network to another, and so they changed some stuff. And
they put her in the future, yeah.
I forgot some stuff.
Yeah.
Like the fact that they tried to have the little kid sidekick and the little computerized robot and trying to throw all these like
they threw
tropes
everything
in
at that
and
show. It's like, wow.
I was like, oh, I didn't remember that part, you know. So,
but she is definitely Wonder Woman. She, I mean,
I follow her on Facebook, and I still have a crush on her. I've had since I was a kid, and she just is classy and just the perfect Wonder Woman.
Was one of the first like female superheroes that you see on TV. I mean, she really, there wasn't a lot out there. I mean, I'm trying to think of some kind of episode before that that, you know, you had, you know, Uhura in Star Trek.
Right.
But that was way years before.
Yeah, I mean, and that's in the future. So for me, Bionic Woman was the one that I connected to, because Wonder Woman was from the Amazon, and I was not. As far as I knew from my parents, that wasn't the thing. And, you know, Uhura was from the future.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, she just kind of sat there for a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, it's a secretary job. I mean, I love Nichelle Nichols, don't get me wrong, and I thought it was awesome she was on there. But she wasn't an action hero like some others. And Isis was the same way. She was, you know, she was an Egyptian researcher who got the power. But Bionic Woman, you know, she got injured, and from her injury, she became strong. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, you know, I had 2 third-degree burns, and so I was in the hospital and going in and out and all that stuff. So that's why I think Lindsay Wagner, when I got to meet her in person, of course, she's like this big, and I'm not. And so, but I started crying when I met her, because I was like, I watched her shows when I'd come home from the hospital and after having shots and stuff like that. But you know, but she was like a real person. Mm-hmm. She was... Yeah. She was not from the Amazon. She was not a goddess. She was not a turned princess or something like that. She was a human, and I thought that was really cool. Same thing with, like, I think now, I think that's why Black Widow is somebody mm-hmm. that I connect to. Because, yes, I'm not Russian either. But she was, she, you know, she, doesn't, she doesn't have, like, the superhuman powers. I mean, she was trained.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she's not, like, she doesn't have a hammer. Nope. Or, you know, she didn't do drugs and become a Captain America. Yeah, she's, you know, or, you know, build my own heart model like, you know, Tony Stark. She is a human girl. So
and she just kicks ass.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, you know, for my generation, it was Xena. Xena, the warrior princess.
Oh, love Xena.
But, like, even by that point in time, there was really just Xena. Like, there wasn't a whole lot else in the 90s I can, like, think back on that it was like, oh, this is a big female role model. Not until, like, the end of the 90s when Phantom Menace came out, and it's like, oh, Amidala is, you know, a character in a big sci-fi franchise. So, you know, it's almost like you just get one a decade. You know, you get the Bionic Woman this decade, and then you get Uhura in the 60s, and you get Xena in the 90s, but... Now, I mean, we've got all sorts of characters. I mean, we've got multiple characters.
Agent Carter.
Just in the
MCU. Oh, my gosh. You have to love her with the hat. That's just your thing.
Oh, my friend bought that hat, and I'm like, oh, I'm so envious. But that's why it shows representation is so important, and we're being more vocal about it. And it was, you know, it's during the 80s, you know, you had She-Ra, and I always thought it was awesome that she always saved He-Man in the episodes that they were together. And she had the scarier villain. I thought Hordak was so much scarier.
Oh, yeah.
Than freaking Skeletor. I'm like, why?
He was a bizarre villain.
He's like, I'll get you, He-Man.
Yeah, and we hear it every day.
it's just something else. But, and it's amazing with science fiction and in comics, too, just having so many different independent creators and stuff, too, also making these strong female characters, and it's awesome. I love it.
Yes, that kind of reminds me of another franchise, like from the 80s, the G.I. Joe animated series.
Oh, yeah.
All the men were, like, useless in that show. And Baroness is constantly, like, picking up after Cobra Commander, because he's just, like, both him and, Destro? Like, they are just crazy, and she's the only one who can do anything.
I think part of it was they were trying to make it so cool to the boys who might not actually, you know, like, for She-Ra, they might not watch it as much, but she had just the better villains. So they're like, I'll buy these toys, too, you know? But they didn't think about all, like, the little girls like us were like, I want these, and I want to go kick butt and beat up Hordak and everyone, too.
My first Funko was She-Ra.
Yes. Excellent choice.
Bought here at StormCon 2 years ago. But yeah, it was She-Ra.
So that's what's led to this addiction you have with Funko Pops.
It's all right. She-Ra's fault.
And you haven't watched any She-Ra or He-Man yet. I'm sure it's probably on Netflix or something.
It doesn't hold up very well.
No.
But I mean, it was just 30-minute toy commercials, and it's so much apparent when you go back and watch it now. You're like, I was totally sold on this.
Well, those might be on Netflix. The only things that I've gone back and watched on Netflix have been Godzilla and G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe is actually, it's funny. I mean, it's entertaining. I'm not sure it holds up well, but it's worth a watch. You will be entertained.
You need to watch X-Men, the X-Men animated.
Oh, yeah.
And the Spider-Man animated.
Yeah.
Those were excellent.
The X-Men especially.
I watched those as a kid. I mean, I know the Evolution came later on in, like, the early 2000s, but, yeah, the Spider-Man the animated series, or I think it might have been called The Amazing Spider-Man.
There were several different
ones. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah, this was, like, in 1990 to
1994. And then Teen Titans.
Teen Titans was a little bit late for me.
Yeah.
I was already a teenager by that point, so I just didn't
But X-Men and Spider-Man.
Oh, X-Men is excellent.
The concepts they had were so out there and great and really complex, I thought, as a kid. I was like, wow, they are really doing something special here. It's like,
I loved Spidey and his amazing friends because I love the humor and the way he could just, you know, be sarcastic with his friends, because that was so me. And it was just like, that's who I want to be. And I wanted to wear that red and yellow outfit. I really did.
I would love for you to wear that outfit.
I know you would. Send outfit design concepts to outfits, guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Do you guys remember Electra Woman and Dinah Girl?
Yes. Deidre Hall. Yeah.
I saw the first cosplay at Con Carolinas of that that I've seen probably in a long time, and I was very happy. I was like, wow, somebody actually
that
watched
that.
That
was part of like the Sid and Marty Croft hour or something, because it was... I think Isis and Shazam and Electra Woman and Dinah Girl were all part of... They would have like a little vignette during that part.
And Storch. What was his name? And, Larry Storch? Is that the guy who...
Yeah.
He was originally on F Troop, and then he used to be... Yeah. He and that other... There was another gentleman, and they used to kind of have the weird haunted mansion, and they would do the little segues between one cartoon to the other. They also had Wonder Buggy.
Yeah,
remember Wonder Buggy? Started off as this sand dune buggy called Schlepp Car, and it would like even the license plate was all junky, and then all of a sudden it spin around and it would become that that flecked silver shimmery paint that we used to want to have on our cars in the 70s and 80s. The thing that always cracked me up with that was the tongue in cheekness of it, because it was three teenagers. It was a the hero was almost looked a little bit like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, and then it was his black best friend, and then the blonde girl, and the blonde girl would come up with the idea and they would be like, that'll never work. And then the black friend would say the idea, and he's like, that's... or no. Then the main character would say the main idea, and the best friend would go, that's a great idea. And she'd be sitting there like, I said that. But, you know, it was that whole thing. It was like the guys, you know, the guys couldn't see that the girl... And that was the 70s, but it was that start of, like, you know, it was kind of that reverse psychology feminism, where it's like, as a girl... I got it.
Yeah.
You know, we really can be the smart ones.
Oh, well, Velma, I mean,
if
it wasn't for Velma, they would never have solved any of their mysteries. Yeah. Let's face it.
Yeah. The problem with Velma cosplay at Dragon Con is I'm not going to wear that dang sweater.
No.
It's too hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would totally Velma. Yeah. I would totally Velma, but I'd have to do some kind of like altered version of the outfit because it's too hot. And I've seen people do it very well.
Yeah, Charlotte Comic Con, because it's only a one-day type of show, so it's a lot easier, and it's air-conditioned, and it's...
Yeah.
And that's the fun thing about cosplay. You can always change it to make it more modest or more weather-friendly if you want to, and that's why I love it so much.
And who are you cosplayed as today?
I am Winry Rockbell from Full Metal Alchemist, and I love the character so much, because even though Ed gives her a hard time, she gives it right back, and she makes sure his automail works and all. So I was actually wearing it at HeroesCon last weekend, and I had some woman come up to me. She's like, I want your picture. You're a strong female character, and I love Winry. And then I was like, yay, you know, just sharing in the love, because, you know, we do pick out the ones that we like. And my husband says I pick all the mean characters.
Really? Yeah. Oh, no, you've done River Song. She's not mean.
No, River's never mean, but,
you know. Except for when she killed the doctor, but hey. Oh, you know.
She made it better.
Spoilers.
You
know.
Spoiler, sweetie. Yeah.
Well, I think, unfortunately, as fun as this is, we're probably... wrapping up on the time mark.
We're a little bit over,
Yeah, are we? Okay.
Oh, it's fine. That's been
fun. We'll have to do some editing.
No, we don't edit. No, we actually make sure we publish the podcast, so we've learned not to edit. So. But thank you guys all for spending some time talking about that. So tell us again where we can find information on Atomicon.
HTTPAtomicon.org, or you can just search Atomicon, and it's all types of media arts conventions. So it's A-T-O-M-A
Con, not Atomic, like a explosion or anything.
It's Adam A. Con.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
AdamAcon.org. And you can also search us on Facebook. We have, and we're at Atomicon on Twitter.
Okay.
So you can find all kinds of things.
And Christine, where can we find out more about your stuff? Not just Undead Norm, but some of the stuff you're doing.
I have ChristineBrunson.com, and it's Christine with a C, like the car from the old Stephen King book. And
Brunson's B-R-U-N-S-O-N.
Yes.
You're not like a Bunsen burner, but no, Brunson. No.
And then, of course, Undead Norm. And
yeah, if you search for Undead Norm, we'll find you.
Yeah,
right?
You'll find me on there. And I also have a link to Atomicon on my website. So
we have a link
to
hers as well. So
there you go.
We'll find each other.
Guest on our
we're
our
all
page,
linked so. Together. We'll be happy family.
So anyway, cool. Well, thank you all.
Thank you guys.
We're out. Mm-hmm.